All right. You got your audio figured out on the first try, Bo?
I can hear you if you can hear me.
Yep.
We can hear you.
How about that?
I'm getting pretty good at it now. At least with my computer. If my computer that like starts twitching out and I have to go to Maria's computer, then it's going to be a debacle again.
Okay.
Look at that. White wine for Quinn. I love it.
Oh, no, no. This is that Jefferson's.
Oh.
Dude, it's so good.
When I know. The one that both me and Jake thought you bought an entire bottle for him.
Nah, I'll get him a bottle. I'll bring one to the bachelor party.
But I don't get a sip. I'm not allowed that.
No.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
Well, you guys keep talking. I got it. We're not even doing anything yet.
It's really good. My dad told me about it when we were at the grocery. It's nice down here. No one drinks any of these bourbons. These really nice bourbons. They're always in stock.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
You don't get any Jack Daniels, though. That one's always gone.
So let's go. Welcome back to the Good, Bad, and the Garbage. Today, so I think I'll be posting this after the Masters happen, but in honor of the Masters, we're going to do a golf movie here. I decided to go with The Legend of Bagger Vance because I just thought to myself, what's a golf movie that is probably bad, but I might have liked as a kid? This is the first one I thought of. Might have opened a can of worms that we'll talk about at the end of the episode. All right. Well, Quinn and I already started a discussion, which I think we should just pause and
hold on 1 second.
I'd be curious to talk to like Lynn or somebody and see if he
has
ever felt this. I'm so out of my element on this.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when I picked this movie, I didn't really anticipate this too much because it was more like the Masters is coming up. Pick a golf movie. What's a golf movie that I think is probably bad, but I liked? Oh, Bagger Vance. But it kind of opened the door on other issues. And it's like, we're three white guys.
Yeah. I have no stance on this because I have no experience.
Yeah. So it might just be
a second. Well, yeah. You guys can keep talking. I'm trying to figure out why my volume is like stagnant.
Yeah, no problem. So maybe it'll just be a short discussion, but I want to like just save that part, like the whole, that whole stereotype for the end. Like,
that's fine.
Just don't like just not really touch it until the end. We'll just talk about other things that like didn't like about the movie, whatever. And at the end, we'll like touch on that part of it. And
that's fine with me.
Let's see where it goes.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Just be a nice person.
What the fuck is going on with this?
But yeah, it stars Matt Damon, Will Smith, Charlize Theron, two Oscar winners, one Oscar nominee there. So the plot is during the Great Depression, Georgia socialite Adele Invergordon, Charlize Theron, announces a publicity gathering, high stakes match, or struggling family golf course featuring the greatest golfers of the era. I like greatest golfers of the era. It's two golfers. Once promising local golfer Randolph Juneau, Matt Damon, whose career and life were derailed by World War I, is brought in to play along the stars, but his game is weak. This is a long synopsis. Until the charismatic Bagger Vance, Will Smith, offers to coach him back into the great golfer he once was. So it starts out though with Jack Lemmon as like the older version of the kid that we kind of watch the movie through the eyes of the kid. Hardy Greaves, I think, is his name. And this was Jack Lemmon's last movie, I want to say. Do you guys know who that actor is? The old guy at the beginning?
He died right after this. He's also the one in the Angry Men. Oh, or what's it called?
Grumpy Old Men.
Grumpy Old Men.
Yes. Yes. Big time act. I think he won two or three Oscars in his heyday. You know, he did Some Like It Hot, which is a famous movie of his. He was a huge golfer. He didn't
credit on this one.
Yeah, he's just like an avid golfer. So he, you know, it was kind of like, oh, golf? Yeah, I'll do this quick two scenes or whatever it is. So the movie's actually a flashback where he thinks about, you know, the early parts of his life during the Great Depression.
Also, this guy could clean up his diet because 5 heart attacks in 10 years is not good.
He started going through it.
He says so casually.
He does. Go for it, Bo. Go
on. I was gonna say, well, there's a the whole idea of it when he wakes up at the end. Like, that's into the future. We can talk about that. Yeah. But like, he just pops up like from a heart attack, like he just got back from a bad nightmare.
Yeah, no, yeah, we'll talk about the ending. The ending's one of those, like, it's supposed to be an ambiguous where it's like, oh, what happened, this or that. It's supposed to be a thinker. I think it, you know, it's kind of straightforward, but
oh, Mr. Know-it-all.
Yeah, I'm gonna admittedly part of this movie, like, I'll be putting on my golf hat a little bit. Like, that's probably a little bit of annoying for some people. But yep. Since I've gotten into golfing, there are little things that I probably will bring up about this movie that bugs me that probably won't bug other people. So
Matt Damon's swing.
Yes.
It's garbage.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one.
Finish the synopsis so we can just like get into all this.
Yeah, let me just say a couple more things here. So this movie was panned critically. It's 43% on Rotten Tomatoes, 47% Metacritic, 6.7 on IMDb, and what is it? There's a here. Roger Ebert gave it 3.5 stars though, but it handles a sports movie the way Billie Holiday handles a trashy song. By finding the love and pain behind the story. So this is like Robert Redford, who directed this, Academy Award winning director, great actor.
Love Robert Redford.
Yeah. He, this was like his follow-up, I want to say. Like, it wasn't his next movie, but have you ever seen River Runs Through It?
Awesome movie.
Yeah. So like, that's like, yeah, that's like his Zen life fly fishing movie. So I think this is kind of like his Zen life, you know, find the meaning of life through golf. And probably not as well done. I mean, like, critically not as well done. It, let a couple last things before we get into it. Budget was $80 million. Box office was $39.5 million. So it did terribly at the box office. It's based on a book, which I've read. It's been a while since I've read it. I remember it being very boring and really very different from the movie. Like, the plot wasn't exactly the same. It was similar enough, obviously, but remember it being just different and kind of weird. That's it leading into this movie. So where do we want to start? Things we liked about it, things we didn't like about it. You brought up Matt Damon's golf swing. I mean,
I feel like I've watched
Walter Hagen would be a fun guy to have a night with.
He looks like it. He looks like he smokes too many cigars and drinks too much whiskey. Like, that is his daily diet.
Dude, that's John Daly. Past John Daly.
This is a classier version of John Daly. Like, John Daly will wear a hoodie and like sweatpants out there, but you know, they're wearing this is the time of golf where you got to wear like a three-piece suit while golfing. Yeah.
Also, how hot were those guys in those sweaters in Savannah, Georgia?
These are the times, because like this and Greatest Game Ever Played, like, it's kind of that same era. Where I couldn't golf in those outfits, or probably in like they have the hickory sticks, right? I've seen pros these days like take hickory sticks, and when they hit the ball, they just break them because we just swing too fast. Like Bryson, it would obliterate. He'd probably be proud of it, you know. He'd probably like at the top of the backswing, he's so much force it just breaks the whole thing before it even gets to the ball, but.
And then he'd try and recite some scientific knowledge.
Because they say how good they are. They go into a very descriptive thing of how good they were. What are they shooting? Are they shooting like even?
No. That is true. That's something that isn't.
Because they never show their scores. They show how far they're off they are from each other.
Which, yeah, no, that's actually a pretty good point. No, I got to think. I'll look it up while we're
talking. These are based on real golfers, right?
The two, yeah. Bobby Jones, Walter Hagen, real golfers. Everyone else, not real people. Bobby Jones, he's considered the best amateur of all time. You know, he did the Grand Slam, all four majors in 1 year, which no one's done since. Tiger did the Tiger Slam, where it wasn't in a 1 year period, but over a 2 year period, he won four in a row. So, like, he held all four titles. Walter Hagen, I think even to this day, he has the most PGA championships out of anyone. Which is, you know, it's a major still to today.
How long? Okay, so if this was this was after World War One, so this is like the 20s.
This is 1928.
This was during Prohibition too, which also another fact. They're all drinking heavily, and it's during Prohibition.
It's got to be like 1920. Isn't that when the Great Depression started?
1920, and it ended in 1932 or 33. I want to say
because I think what I was reading, this took place in 1930, right? That's what I was saying.
Yeah, so it was during Prohibition. And they're all heavily drinking.
Yeah, that could be just, yeah. Like, whoops, we forgot about that. Let's see here. I'm trying
but also, how long? So they go into this whole spiel, like, they're the best golfers of all time. Like, how long has professional golf really been going on in 1930?
I mean, long enough, right? Like, greatest game ever 20 played.
Years? They're the best golfers for 20 years.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about, like, the British Open has been going on since – I can look it up, but that's the.
You're gonna recite us some facts. It's 15s like 1500 and.
Yeah, man, you know every Oscar, but you don't know when the British Open started.
Yeah, how dare you?
British Open founded also 1860.
Got some illegal contraband here.
What is that?
It's only made in Colorado. You can't. It never leaves the state.
Bring that back, huh?
Yeah. Good.
I don't think these people were shooting like even par or under par that often. Yeah. So, like, you're right. Like, that was something that I noticed, too. Like, they just say 12 shots back and even. They don't really say their score. Like, I don't think I mean, not as low as these days.
A spiel on each one and how amazing they are.
Yeah, I mean, I like how they do that, and then she gets all nervous when she brings up the Ranoff Juna thing. But it's like, you prepared this speech. Like, you knew you had to say this. Leave that part out if you think it's going to make him feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, why are you talking about his one trauma that you guys have literally had a thing about for 10 years?
Yeah. Their whole relationship felt like, I watched this while I was like cooking dinner last night, and then I watched part of it, like, it felt like I was always constantly kind of doing something, but it felt like their relationship was just like, I don't know, did it do anything to the story other than like, she was like, she kind of came back into his life and was supportive, but like, I really don't think it was like,
can I say this valuable is her to worst his character. Role ever?
What was that?
What did you say?
Her worst role ever. She was so annoying throughout the entire movie.
My biggest issue with her, and kind of most of them, I'm not great at judging accents, but her accent, it fell in and out. Like it she just stopped having it every once in a while. And
that's because she's South African. You can't...
Well, I mean, she's an actress. Like, she's an Academy Award winning actress. Like, she knows how to do, like, Leo is from the U.S., but he does an amazing African accent in Blood Diamond. Like,
he does, but he's also a better actor.
Will Smith.
I don't know about that, but I mean, he might be. Go on, Bo. Sorry.
I was going to say, while we're on accents, Will Smith, and I remember specifically in the locker room when he's like cleaning his shoe or whatever after like, he's having the pep talk with him.
Yeah, the
first Uncle Rufus. Uncle
definitely
Rufus speech,
flips from like a 1930s accent, and he starts eking towards like Bad Boys accent. Like it is, like it starts changing,
and it kind of
works its
one.
Way back. Caught it. It's like all of a sudden, it just when he was telling him, like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody say when he was talking about, like, the soul dies and it doesn't matter. He's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, like Fresh Prince coming out there.
That does not sound like Will Smith from 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, accents, I get it. Like, they're hard to do, but that's why you have how many takes to do it. I always remember the one scene with Charlize Theron where, like, her accent just completely goes away as while – Matt Damon's playing, she pulls him aside, accent gone, she just sounds like her like normal self, and it's like, it's just so blatant. I'm just like, you couldn't have redone that. Like, you're Robert Redford, like, you couldn't have redone that. But
kudos to her, though. I actually think she might be better looking now than she was then.
Oh yeah,
years later.
Yeah,
no, she looked better.
I actually didn't even know
it was
her until you said it.
Mad Max than she did in this one.
She looked what
better in Mad Max Fury Road? Shaved head.
You think the bald, one-armed version of her looks better than, like, her Southern belle self in this?
That girl could take care of me. This girl could not do anything.
Take care of? Like, I overall kind of like the beginning part where they set everything up. Like, you don't really, you know, they kind of span how many years, but it's, this is the city of Savannah. This is Ranoff Juna. He was great. They were in love. He goes to war. Like, I thought it did an okay job of, like, setting everything up and kind of,
like, oh, yeah, everything you need to know. It felt meaty. It felt like there was substance to it.
So
you could justify why they were acting the way they were the rest of the movie based on that opening.
Yeah, like you kind of got a sense of who those characters were for the rest of the movie after that, like opening 5 minutes or whatever. So I did like that positive thing right there. I do like Will Smith's intro into the movie, like the first time you see him
coming from the dark.
Yeah. Oh, that is a great line.
I do like it's something I, you know, I quote all the time, especially like I'm giving people shit. Like, I could have hit you out there. Well, judge by us hitting them balls. I figured that's where I'd be out of harm's way. Like, I think that's, you know,
he's got some great one liners in there.
Yeah. I think I've given that line to Birch a couple times.
It's probably fair.
He would be the one to give it to because I feel like he'd actually get offended. Just dig in.
So yeah, I do like that. I like the scene where they're playing poker, or that's like when Hardy Greaves goes and finds Matt Damon.
Is that scene somewhat famous? Because I feel like I've seen screenshots or something from his speech or something.
The brain cell
it looks
one.
Really familiar, like when he's just sitting there like looking kind of raggedy and he's drinking or whatever, and I forgot, like he has like a couple one-liners that sound like they could be like memorable lines you could spew out to other people.
Dude,
but
the brain cells speech is awesome.
Yeah
right,
that one's awesome.
But yeah, no, it was a cool scene, and I felt like I was like, did I see this movie before? And there's no way I have. If I have, I would not remember it. But I do feel like I've either seen clips of it or seen like just pictures of it with the words written out, you know, mm-hmm. like a meme or something.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty heavily used. Like, yeah, I think that's probably one of a couple scenes that are pretty well known for this movie. And yeah, the brain cell scene or dialogue, whatever you want to say, is pretty good. You know, every drink you take kills 1,000 brain cells. Doesn't matter. First ones to go are the, what is it? The first ones to go are the quiet ones.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Like first cells to go are the quiet ones. So you say everything real loud.
The question on the table is how drunk is drunk enough? And the answer is that it's all a matter of brain cells.
Yeah.
Brain cells. That's right, Hardy. You see every drink of liquor you take kills 1,000 brain cells. Now that doesn't matter much because we got billions more. And the first, the sadness cells die. So you smile real big. Then yep. The quiet cells go, so you just say everything real out for no reason at all. That okay? That's okay, because the stupid cells go next. So everything you say is real smart.
Which
and
is
finally come the memory cells. Those are tough sons of bitches to kill.
You said that with like a very pathetic southern accent, by the way, Quinn. It was just like
everything
you just,
like the actors in this movie, you just quit halfway through.
Yeah.
The way they word it makes it sound like it too, because they have like apostrophes and hyphened words and
which is that, I mean, that sums up a drunk person perfectly, right? Like you get loud first or smile first, you get loud, you think you're smart, so you start talking a lot and then you black out. Like that's the perfect,
well, it fits his character too, because he's trying to drown out the memories of basically the only one surviving his entire platoon.
Yep. So I like a lot of the stuff in the beginning like that. I don't buy her just getting the two most famous golfers in the world to play her course on a random weekend like that. I appreciate like she like pitches it in different ways to them to fit like things that they like. Like Bobby Jones is pretty prideful about his game and he doesn't like that Walter Hagen beat him. So she uses that to pitch him. And then Walter Hagen is apparently just like, you know, he chases women, so it's, oh, we've got all these helpless women in Savannah. Why don't you come and take care of them? Oh, by the way, Bobby Jones is coming too. So, you know, I appreciate that she does that, but it's, you know, one visit like that, you're not going to get the two most famous golfers.
Her whole shtick, I don't like it. I don't like any of it.
You just don't like her character at all?
I don't like her character. And I don't like Hardy either. Just is annoying too.
I guess... now that I'm thinking about it, did it ever get resolved? Did they ever talk about, like, maybe they did at the very end, but I was kind of like, forget it, like this movie's over. What happened to the golf course? Because wasn't the whole point of it to save the golf course?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And then did they talk about the golf course? No, like after
it was only
like
about
gone. It was the redemption story.
Yeah, it was the redemption story.
Yeah, I think it's probably assumed that maybe it's fine. Like she's able to keep it because of getting this together, but yeah, I don't know for sure.
Also, how is she getting that $10,000 prize money if no one's paying to even come on the course?
Well, she
did just come on with her cars and shit.
She did
tore up that course.
Well, you gotta let them finish. But yeah, she said she'd sell everything except the course, and she thinks that she could get $10,000 out of that. But then, yeah, you just drive on the course and turn the headlights on.
Of course, cars weighed a lot less.
I mean, yeah, that part made no sense. It seemed like just like, I mean, obviously just point cars towards the course and just make it light out again, which then
also when they tee off, it's so light out. Yeah. I teed off in pitch blackness before I finished that hole.
It was, yeah, this is the good thing. Dusk, and then it's pitch black by the time they're at their second balls.
I know.
Do you have 10 grand on the line, Quinn?
Shot down to Walter on the beach, and it's complete daylight.
Yeah. Well, then they cut to Baker Vance walking down the beach after he makes the putt, and it's like a beautiful sunset.
A little continuity error there. Got to have the beautiful sunset with him walking off. But, yeah.
I know there's theories. Like, I know that we're going to get to the end, that the thing you wanted to talk about, Matt, and I know, like, the end of the theory that we might talk about, like, when he wakes up from the heart attack.
Yeah.
And Baker's there, whatever. I didn't think, I'm not going to give away what I think about this movie, but it wasn't like that bad. I was watching it and it was pretty mundane. And then like he made the putt at the very end and I was like, didn't he take a penalty stroke? And then yeah. I found out and I was like, yeah, they did. And I was like, wait, they're literally like going to end it in a tie. Like that's it. I was so mad. I was like, this movie's done. I hate it. I could not. I don't know if that's like the red-blooded American in me that nothing can end in a goddamn tie.
Someone's got to win this.
Have you seen quickly off topic?
You have to be fucking kidding me.
Have you seen Ted Lasso?
I have the first season. Yes.
The very opening in his press conference, he's like, "Win or lose, we're gonna be great." Or tie. Oh, that's right. You guys do ties over here. Where I come from, if we allowed ties, it'd be like the sign of the apocalypse or something. So no, it's very American. Probably of us to not be accepting, but even as a kid, I was very upset that it was a tie. And the way he celebrated, I was like, did he not take the penalty?
So technically, he tied, but technically, kind of won.
Maybe he shouldn't have moved the small brush away from his ball.
Why did he need to move that? And also, I mean, I didn't do well in physics, but that thing would have definitely not moved a ball.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen little things move a golf ball before. If you're on a hill or slope or something, the real question is, would you guys have called a penalty on yourself?
I would have never been there in the first place because I am terrible.
Quinn is an honorable man as far as I'm aware.
I would have given my tails two strokes.
Yeah. Just to be safe. Just give me two.
Just to be safe. I don't want anybody coming back at me when I'm down 10 strokes on Matt still.
Right.
Walter Hagen's line of like the three bad shots and one good shot still gets you par. I say that probably at least once around.
Yeah, which is a real thing. That's like a true thing that he has said, and like he mapped his game around was, you know, in his mind.
More bad shots in one round than most people do in a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and it's funny, their swings, we're just going to get into it now, their swings I didn't think were that bad. But you brought it up earlier, Matt Damon, like, so going into this movie, he's zero golfing in his life.
And how did he get this role?
Well, he's Matt Damon. Like, you know, he's an Academy Award winner at this point.
Can I take an aside with Matt Damon? How many movies does he have where he just stares off in the camera and, like, the wind lightly, with that smile, and the wind, like, lightly makes
not as many as Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, King. I don't know. I guess I haven't seen as many Ryan Gosling. Because I've seen some Ryan Gosling movies that are pretty badass.
I like Ryan Gosling a lot. He's the master of just a look. Like, he just looks, and you're just like...
Yeah, but his look isn't ever smile. It's always the serious look.
Right. He's just...
Matt Damon is always like... I can't.
Maria is just like, Ryan Gosling is so hot.
I mean, she's not wrong.
Yeah,
no, she's not.
He's a handsome fellow.
He also has like a good aura about like the way, like his look. It's his look. You just look at me like you look like a sassy.
If you want a great watch, Driver. If you want a great Gosling movie,
Driver's great.
Phenomenal. I changed my whole perspective on him after watching that
movie. Barely says a word in that movie.
I know.
Needs to be his handsome
look.
Yeah,
he just look.
The look.
He just looks. Basically, I shouldn't say that. Crazy Stupid Love. He's actually
sounds good.
That's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
It's like maybe one of my favorite rom coms.
It is. It's me too.
That's good. Anyways, Matt Damon. Look, He does that in so many movies where he just stares and it's like a half grin in the wind for like 5 seconds.
Hey man, something's working, I guess. Keep going with it.
Typecasting.
Maybe. I mean, this is before his action and role adventure.
Jason Bourne really got him going into the
action. He's made some good action movies too. Elysium's awesome.
So yeah, Matt Damon's golf swing is terrible in this. Like, it is tough for me to get past.
Tell us how you really feel.
All right, here we go. Like,
you know what? The only thing I'll say about him that I liked is he lined up with the ball and then he spread his feet apart like a little professional. It's like he watched how professionals did it, where they put their feet and they're like, backstep one, front step run. Like, he lined himself up. And I'm like, looks like a golfer there. That's pretty good.
He did the one thing that anyone can do while playing golf. He's took his stance. I just, like I said, as a kid, who cares? Like, I golfed but didn't know anything about it. But I just watch it now, and like, I have it on right now and I'm watching it, and it's the scene where he's hitting off into the darkness and Will Smith is about to show up. This swing is very bad, and you can see the little white ball and like where it goes for a little while too, and it's just hosel. And I get he's supposed to be bad at this point, but even when Will Smith shows up and he's like, yeah, give me one more just like that, you can see the ball, he tops the shit out of the ball. I'm like, he still isn't putting a good swing on it. And I get it, like, he'd never golfed in his life, Matt Damon, he trained with someone at some golf courses to try to get his swing figured out. It just looks very bad. And again, that isn't going to matter to a lot of people, but just for me, it's something I notice.
It was cringeworthy.
So, you know,
I mean, it's fair though, because like, in a movie that's based around sports, like, I watch, like, what is the movie with shit, who's the Catwoman that they play like the one-on-one basketball game that gets
Halle
real?
Berry?
Is it Halle Berry? We
bringing up the Halle Berry Catwoman movie right now?
Oh, well, God, I'm just, when they play the basketball scene, when they're like grinding on each other, and it's the worst basketball skills ever. That's like the epitome of it. But like, even watching other, it's
arguably the worst scene in Hollywood history, that fucking basketball scene.
I'm glad I've never seen it.
I'll send you
the clip later.
Yeah, just the clip.
I'm good.
I've only seen the clip. I've never seen the movie.
It's bad. But, it's a 0.1 in my rankings, I think. I have it as a 0.1 out of 10. Go on.
But I feel like, especially when you're interested in a sport, not even just golf, but like watching basketball, soccer, for me, baseball, whatever. I like watching something that's like, or what's a good one is like when they try to act like they're competitive beach volleyball players. And I'm like, motherfucker, that's not how beach volleyball is played at all. Like,
that's your obscure one. Like,
so much.
You play volleyball, so you're going to
really
know this volleyball
like
shit.
Top Gun then.
Oh yeah, Top Gun.
You wouldn't play in jeans?
Yeah.
All my outdoor tournaments in jeans. It's a style. It's a look. Jeans guy.
So that's like my one of my little nitpick things with this is the Matt Damon swing. Another one is this kind of goes into the whole like Zen life golf thing that Robert Redford was going for. But a big thing in this movie is like everyone is born with an authentic swing that they can like look back on, and it's like their perfect swing for golf. It's another thing where I kind of roll my eyes at, and I'm like, I don't think golf is one of those things where you can just like, you can have some natural athletes with it, but to the idea that everyone has like a perfect swing that they're born with, that's a little on the cheesy side for me, even for this kind of movie.
Didn't you not see that highlight of Bryson hitting those tee offs this morning?
That is all natural, baby.
Yeah, that's an all natural 100% beef right there.
He better have other ACL ligaments in the freezer right now, because eventually those things are blowing out and they're just gonna be
shooting up stem cells between rounds.
Oh yeah, dude. He's gonna be South Park, where they're doing knee replacement, like they, you know, like it's just gonna turn bad. Yeah, no, he's so many people with Bryson are like, give it 5 years and he's gonna be done. But if he wins a million times in those 5 years, like, I guess who cares? Like, is it worth?
He's
it?
He's a good heel too. He's better than, like, I actively never want Patrick Reed to win because he's a shitty person. But like, yeah. Bryson actually like being competitive and watching him lose is interesting. Like, I want him to be up in the top of the leaderboard because I want him to lose. Like, I want him to miss a putt on 18 to lose.
Yeah, no, Bryson and even, like, people are going to maybe hate me for this. Bryson and Tiger, I want them in the top five of every tournament but never win.
How dare you? Riggs is going to come find you and murder
There's so much nostalgia with Tiger. People want him to win so badly.
No, people love Tiger, and I get it. I have never been a huge Tiger fan. Like, I've always appreciated him because, like, what he does for the game, like, everyone watches. That's
because he took so many titles away from your boy, Nick.
I mean, winning the Masters in 18 – was 18, right? Was, like –
19? 2019.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
He was the defending champ last year when Dustin –
Oh, he was. I thought he was 1 year removed.
No. That was Patrick Reed, like a good cherry on his story.
Like, it should just – now I can, like – I want to see – like you said, I want to see Tiger compete because it's good for golf. But, like, I'm not going to, like, really care if he wins the same way. I really wanted him to win that Masters because it's, like – I mean, that is going to make a cool documentary not made by HBO like they did. Hopefully a better one in the future.
That one wasn't great. But I think any documentaries with Tiger is going to be tough if he isn't involved, because then you're just –
And he probably will never be.
And yeah, he never will. And it's because I'm saying this doesn't mean, like, I want bad things to happen to him. Like, when he got in the car accident and everything. Like, no. Like, I'm not one of those people out there. And there are people like that who are, like, happy that that happened for him. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, no. I just – you know, I'm just kind of over him, like, you know – I don't know. I do think he's the greatest of all time. People say it's him or Jack. Like, I do think he's better than Jack at this point. But
dude, he was so dominant.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s. That wasn't even close.
I never even heard about his cut streak until, like, what, 142 or whatever, and they said, like, the next closest is, like, what, and then, like, 90? Like, it's
obliterated,
like,
obliterated people.
Yeah.
He was so good.
He owns every record. So, yeah, insane.
We're struggling to stay on track here.
Nah, it's fine. You brought up the kid, Hardy Greaves. I thought it was kind of weird that he was just embarrassed that his dad had a weird job. I'm like, you're old enough to know you're in a Great Depression right now.
Like, Your dad has a job.
And he had a real job before that. Like, he knows his dad wasn't working like a leaf raking job his entire life. Like, he had a business. Like, obviously something happened.
Well, his kid's character, like,
bothered me.
Like, the kid's he's how old, like, he knows what's going on in the what world. Is his
fucking name? I want to see what else he did.
That I'll actor you.
Yep.
Oh man, yeah, I can't think of anything else that he is.
J. Michael Moncrief,
what a name.
Okay, what else is he in? Most recently, he was in Bingo Night.
It's as an editor. Are you on IMDb?
Oh, yeah.
The
one
acting credit is Hardy Greaves in Legend of Bigger Bands.
Everybody watched this movie and was like, God damn, this kid's so fucking pathetic. I'm never going to have him.
He was born in Savannah, Georgia. So.
So he just probably walked the streets and probably like, hey, you little kid.
Get you over here. Acted. You're in this movie now. That's probably exactly what happened.
I did think he was kind of funny in the beginning of the movie. Like, he had some pretty funny lines, like in that scene we talked about earlier when he goes and finds Matt Damon at the when he's playing poker or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought he was kind of funny in that, like, and before then, that, but.
And he pretends to be asleep and he sees Charlize Theron in her nightgown. Ooh. What was that?
Basically, like, just wearing another dress.
Even if he was asleep, and even if Matt Damon truly told Charlize, like, he's probably asleep, you don't have to worry about it, why would you still, even though, like, I know that's not what her goal was, but still, in just any mindset, why would you just be like, can we just maybe go through a door and close,
like,
the door?
See this room over here, like the bedroom right there? Let's just go in there.
Prefer not to have sex in front of a, like, 12-year-old boy.
Again, different time, Bo.
True.
Also, she was just wearing a dress. It wasn't like...
Yeah, but it's like 30s, right? So, like, that's scandalous.
Ooh, star ankles, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Got to keep it below the knee. Only show the, you know, ankle, stuff like that.
These people must have been just smelling like straight stank all the time. They must have been sweating so bad.
Especially in the South. In the humid.
I was sweating today and it was 75 degrees.
Do you guys have anything before we get into maybe the last thing to talk about this movie?
Anything else? Will Smith is the saving grace of this movie. If Will Smith wasn't in here and didn't have such a likable character with a lot of great lines.
I didn't mind Matt Damon, though, either. I thought he
had some good points, but when we got to the golfing, it was just...
I'd say, like, he's a great actor. So, like, he's great in all the dramatic or whatever roles that he needs to deliver. It's just whenever I see him swing at a ball or try to react to a shot... Like, even just reacting to, like, a bad shot or a good shot, like, it's not great. So, no, he's a good actor. So, everything other than that, he's good in this. Will Smith, like, yeah, he's a very charismatic guy. I think he has a lot of lines in this that if someone else were to deliver them, yeah, maybe it'd come off as a lot cornier or cheesy. And because it's Will Smith, it's maybe delivered a little better. So, yeah, I agree with that. Also, yeah, I did see... So Robert Redford, actually, original plans were for him to play Randolph Jr. and then Morgan Freeman would play Bagger Vance. But then he was like, I should probably go with the younger people. So that's where...
That was a good
choice. Originally, Brad Pitt, probably because of the River Runs Through It connection, was supposed to be Randolph Jr., but then that fell through. So then it turned into Matt Damon and Will Smith. So
why does it always feel like those... Yeah, whatever. They always feel like they're connected.
Brad Pitt and Damon? You just think like the Ocean's movies?
Probably. And then like George Clooney. Like, let's just throw them all three in the same lump. Like, they're all there.
On to the more serious, I guess, part or discussion. If people don't want to listen to this, feel free to skip.
Is Bagger Vance even real?
But maybe we should talk about that before.
That was the only thing I was going to say before we get into this.
Before we get into it? No, yeah. No, that's a good point. The very end. I mean, he's dead, right? Like, he died.
Oh, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
Clearly, the sixth one got him. Bagger does see. I'll see you again.
But I don't know, like, if there's any legitimate... Obviously, I guess not, because I didn't even know that... I guess I did. Bob Jones and Walter Hagen sounded like familiar names, so I probably should have known that they were real golfers. But I was like, is there some underlying tone that Matt Damon died in World War One? And, like, this is all just... Bagger Vance is some symbolism of just, like... You're reaching Nirvana and heaven. Like,
no, I think you dug a little too deep.
I'm looking for the depth, Quinn.
You got to come to the table with the crazy theories. You got to come to, because in 10 years, when Robert Redford says, guess what? This is the crazy theory, then Bo can be like, was right. See?
Yeah, right.
If he's wrong, who cares?
Yeah, nobody will remember this. No. But then
the Alex Jones of our podcast, you just throw out crazy fucking conspiracies and one of them might stick.
I don't know if any of his have stuck.
The gay frogs hasn't stuck.
Not yet. Hasn't been disproven yet.
No, he's definitely dead. And he's walking off into the sunset with Bagger.
Yep.
Bagger's just such a stereotypical name. Like, who's like, we need a caddy. What should we name him? Bagger.
Right? Yeah. Literally carrying a bag of clubs.
He's literally a bagger named Bagger. Might be a nickname, obviously, if he's a good caddy. Why not?
Yeah.
Be like Shoeless Jackson. Shoeless Joe Jackson.
He might be the best caddy of all time.
Arguably. You know, cheat. Cheech Marlin in Tin Cup. If you've ever seen Tin Cup, I mean, he's got to deal with crazy Kevin Costner in that movie. So,
no layups.
But yeah, weird scene too. Like, I don't know. Would you think the dramatic scene where like they're in the woods? It looks like Randolph's gonna like pick the ball up and cheat, and then Bagger like steps in, does this whole big speech, and like gets him back on track. Like, that's like extra level cheesiness for me in a movie where like. I don't know.
Yeah, but this is like, I feel like this is directly pointing into the like final subject you want to talk about.
Very true.
It's like that was like the epitome of what you were going to go after.
We'll get into it. So last thing, the only other thing I think this movie like I remember is the shot between the trees that's like a standing thing with like my dad, and like if one of us is in the trees, they'll say you're gonna pull off like the Bagger Vance shot. It's kind of like the tin cup shot where you're trying to hit it over the water and try to get on the green. That's like the only other thing that has resonated with me from this movie is if you're in the woods, you're gonna try to pull off the Bagger Vance shot.
I guess. You always pull off the Bagger Vance
shot. You always gotta go for it at least too.
Ding it off five trees.
Yeah, it doesn't work out like it does in this movie very often, but okay, so yeah, let's get into the last topic here. So a little more serious content or discussion. So if people want to skip ahead, I guess go for it. But I do think
three white guys knowing no knowledge of yeah. this subject at all.
Yeah, so I still think it's important to know, like Quinn, you said you didn't even know this was a thing, so I think it's still important for people to maybe know about, but we're probably not gonna have a too intuitive a conversation about it. But yeah, so the term magical Negro was kind of, I don't want to say invented, but the idea of it was brought to light by Spike Lee. I mean, great director, all-time great. A guy who not only fights for rights outside of film, but for like, you know, film, like screen time and subject matter for the African-American community. So he kind of came up with the term magical Negro. And this movie is like the like example that most people use when they discuss this. Like I said, you know, at Platteville even, this movie was talked about in my ethics class because of this. And I had no idea this was a thing either. Once I found out about this, like in my ethics class, this is the first time I watched the movie since then. It's hard for me to get past it. Once you know it's like an actual trope and something that's been in Hollywood for a while, it's hard for me to get past it in this movie. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, and then you started showing me that some comedians had made skits on it. Dave Chappelle has one, Key and Peele have one, so I had no idea this even existed.
Yeah, and so for people who don't know, that term is just meant for and is the definition of this movie. It's for African-American characters who show up and they're like kind of these spiritual or magical characters who show up and help out white people. Like, you know, you got to help out the white savior, and they'll do anything to help them out, which is where like the issue lies in it. Like I remember in my ethics class, it was, why wouldn't he come back and help another African-American? And Spike Lee's thing with this movie is, this movie takes place in a time period and region of the country where, I mean, African-Americans are getting lynched left and right. And this Bagger Vance character shows up and he cares about fixing the swing of a white dude. Like that makes zero sense when you think of it that way.
This doesn't have anything to do with, I mean, it has something to do with what you're saying, but I didn't really find like any, like, I thought, because you had mentioned something about that before we even watched this movie, and I was expecting like serious racial undertones in the movie. Yeah. And I was like, well, it takes place in the 1930s. I expect it to be slightly racist. I didn't think this movie was really necessarily racist in the way that they were treating like Will Smith's character. But like, it was after you had sent the clip of Key and Peele and everything, I was like, I get it now. And then it made me start thinking about other movies. And I was like, even like Bruce Almighty, like I was like, of course, and like he's God in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the best example. And the other one that was like popping in my mind because it's just another golf movie is Happy Gilmore. Like, not that he's as magical and mythical, but like, sure,
but he's like an instructor helping him out. Yeah. So no, like Quinn, like before, but like before you came on, like this is the discussion Quinn and I were having, and I was like, maybe we should save this for the podcast. I mean, it's still recorded, so maybe I'll splice it in, but.
I'm reading about the magical Negro stereotype.
Yeah, I don't always like sharing, you know, like I want to get your guys's like honest opinion of the movie, so I don't like sharing things that might sway your opinion.
It doesn't sway my opinion of the movie at all.
I didn't even
know this was a stereotype.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I guess this seemed like a big enough deal to be like, this is a real thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's an everything you read about this movie, that's huge.
Yeah, like it's the biggest thing on the Wikipedia for it or on anything about it. Like if you had to pick one thing, and I'll talk about it later, if you had to pick one thing this movie was known for in Hollywood, it's this.
It's weird because you think Will Smith in 2000, you know, he's trying to help, you know, African-Americans be better in the film industry. He would have seen this role and not taken it, or would have.
Yeah, well,
try to change it in a different way.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I was trying to find it, but I thought I read somewhere, and this is like not just recently, but a while ago, that Will Smith just, he's a big golfer, which I didn't know until I saw this movie and like read about it later, but he's a big golfer. So he basically just said yes to this movie because like it involved golf. Like he didn't really care about too much else, so it might have just been an oversight. But you know, the term
What about Shawshank Redemption? Would it, Morgan Freeman's character be considered a magical Negro in that one?
I wouldn't consider him a magical, like he doesn't save Andy Dufresne.
One thing, okay,
he's just his friend, you know.
Yeah, I get the stereotype. I'm reading more into it now, but the one thing about this film that I didn't think even steered into racist tones at all is all the African-Americans in it. There's no, I mean, I know it's post-war, but there's no signs of any of the Jim Crow laws being enforced. Yeah. There's no signs. I mean, they're all their caddies are like African-American on a golf course that probably didn't exist back then.
I think for the longest time in the South, caddies were only allowed to be African-American because, and that I wouldn't call that a good thing, like it was just because
considered like slave-like maybe.
Yeah, it's like you're helping him, like you know you answer to them, like Augusta, you know, where the Masters is. Mm-hmm. they had that rule in effect until maybe the 70s. I should look that up. Yeah, like, because you brought up Shawshank, Quinn, and it's
Shawshank, Green Mile is another one.
Green Mile is one that it, like, is considered that, because he literally has magical powers and helps out, you know, like, white characters. The other examples, you know, I don't think it's necessary fits this trope if it's just an African-American who, you know, instructs them, but it's like the spirituality of them and the idea that they would do anything to help out the white
sacrifice white
people. Yeah, like they would sacrifice. So like Shawshank, like they're friends. I don't know if that's necessarily like, you know, fits the mold here, but I kind of get where you're going with that. But yeah, I think this movie, like in Hollywood, the thing it's sadly known for is this right now. Like the Wikipedia page on, you know, like this trope mentions Legend of Bagger Vance and talks about Bagger Vance more than the Wikipedia page for Bagger Vance just is in length. You know what I mean? Like,
Is Bagger Vance, I mean, I know it's like he helps him out and everything, but like, I don't know. I guess I'd probably should start watching more movies and paying attention to it that are other good examples, because it's not like excusing that this is an example, but like it doesn't feel like he's magical as much as he is just instructional and like psychologically a friend, which isn't like he's still helping him out. Like, yeah. But that's playing into reality. Like, you still, like, you can't all of a sudden, if you're trying to make a realistic movie about golf in 1930, you can't be like some guy who's just gonna be like point his finger and have the ball slowly move to the right away from the water or something.
That's the thing, like, you brought up that got me was like, I don't see any tones of racism anywhere else in this movie. Like,
and that's something like both of you brought that up. And I think is like, in the movie, there is little to no actual racism as in like they show bathrooms that are like colored and white or water fountains that
white
are that
people
way.
People and African-American people are mingling in stores and on
like
the streets.
They don't call Bagger, you know, the N-word. N-word isn't used at all, you know, in the South. So like, you're right. Like on the surface, like that, there's no racism. So I get like people, And that's the tricky part with it, and why it took till Spike Lee to like give it a term, if I'm reading the information right. Like, it's not in your face, but it's like a metaphorically there. And that's maybe it's more, you know, subtle or underlined, so it isn't like as in your face. So maybe that's why people don't notice it. And maybe why it's been going on for so long, because it is kind of metaphoric. And like in this movie, like the magical thing, like, yeah, is he an angel? Like, there's some magic behind that, but it's more so like he has the answer for everything, right? Like, it's kind of the beginning of that Key and Peele skit, is both of those characters walk in the room and they like have these metaphors that they say, like, oh, copy machine, like, I don't even remember what he says, but they have these metaphors like, oh, garbage yeah. bin, so full, but it makes it feel so much better when you empty it. Like, it's like those kind of metaphorical, you know, messages that like kind of make the person feel better about their life, is I think what they're going for, or what Spike Lee was
so,
going
okay,
for.
So okay, so then flip this. What if Vagar Bance was played by like a white character?
Yeah, no, and that's actually what I asked in my class. I'm like, yeah. what if you flip it? And then it's like, but so then
say
it's
Will
like,
Smith
is it a,
was the Juna?
That's
and
12 years
Matt Damon
slave.
Was Bagger.
Yeah, no, but no, I brought that up, and it's weird and it's tough, and that's why we're three white guys discussing it, and it's probably not the best way to do it.
I got no
but
clue.
When you flip it, then it becomes like a white savior movie where the angel's a white dude helping out a black guy, and that in itself might have issues too. So I don't know what the right answer is. And that's why I don't feel like we need to talk about it that much, but it's something that like this movie is known for, and that's where a lot of the criticism comes from. So it, I felt it like is, it had to be brought up.
It is weird, and this is gonna like dive into like, I don't know, maybe this opinion is not worth even mentioning, but like the like I don't know if I'd really even care. Like, I know that it's supposed to be undertoned, and I know that that's a lot of things that stand with systemic racism, is like things we don't notice. That's speaking yeah. for me, who went to high school at a graduating class in the hundreds and hundreds, and we had probably less than 5 black kids in our entire graduating class, like in like nice suburbs of Milwaukee. Like, the like I should be the last one with an opinion, but like we never experience it. So if you don't outright see it, you might not know about it if it doesn't affect your daily life. That's like this movie, I guess, in the way where it's underlying. There's nothing volatile about it that's racist, but like you can, when there's repeated patterns of like how things are treated that don't even maybe like look, they're not even trying to make African-Americans look bad in the movie, but they're almost trying to like use them as a facilitator for something else, whatever it is.
Yeah,
but to go, I just mentioned the movie, like it's funny because I remember watching 12 Years a Slave for the first time, and it's not the same thing, but Brad Pitt helping, and I don't know the actor's name because I'm terrible with movies,
Chiwetel Ejiofor,
but when Brad Pitt becomes like the hero in the movie, where he's the one white person who's trying to help basically him get back to his family, I am like, this fucking white guy is the fucking hero. Like, he is awesome. Like, it's just, and it's different because, I mean, I have my political views. Like, I'm not saying I understand racism to the extent any person who actually experiences it does, but like, I do feel like almost like a homership towards white people who also feel the same way that like to help black people that I feel in ways, you know? Yeah, so like,
You're like, he would do, I would do what he would do. So you like seeing that on screen.
Right. And that's not what Quinn was like exactly using as an example. But like, I did feel like that, even though they're totally one stuck in slavery, it's totally different than one guy trying to win a golf tournament. Maybe that's the epitome of like white versus black.
Okay. So privilege. What if we do it this way? What if we put this story not in the 1930s, but put it in, say, like the 1990s, when, you know, the
like Tiger Woods is starting to peak out, like black.
No, it was like already like the
and it's past the civil rights movement.
Civil rights movement's already happened. There's definitely, I mean, there's still.
I do think that change again. Three white dudes talking about it, because I do think context matters, and when a movie that takes place in the 30s where there's a lot of systemic racism going on, like a lot of just in your face things going on, and you have this, you know, caricature in Bagger Vance helping out this rich white rich, he lives in like a rundown house, but like a, you know, a well-ish off white dude, like I think that's perceived a little bit differently when it's when it takes place the 30s in the South versus like the 90s somewhere else. Like I think all that stuff matters when it comes to movies. And I guess when I say context matters, I mean I guess it affects it a little bit, but at the end of the day, if it's still set in present day, I mean it's still problematic because it's still the same stereotype that's happening, but it's just happening at a less problematic time. I don't know, like it's tough, like it's just tough to judge. So I mean I don't know, it's one of those things where like I don't know what the right answer is, and that's just because like I'm not the demographic for it, like, you know, like it takes someone like Spike Lee to point it out to people, because like I'm not gonna notice it because like I haven't lived that.
I would have never thought about it until you mentioned
and which is like, of course we wouldn't, but like that isn't to say it's not an issue. You need someone with that different perspective to point it out and then be like, yeah, you know, you're right. Like, okay, well now let's try to avoid this from now on, or let's try to just tell, like, I don't want to say better stories, but like more realistic ones. Like, that's why I love Black Klansman. I think Black Klansman should have won Best Picture that year over a movie Green Book, which I think did a kind of a whitewashing look at racism, you know, versus Black Klansman, which I think was a little more realistic. And that's actually, and that's a, you know, coincidentally a Spike Lee directed movie. So, so yeah, I don't know. It's,
like, we bring this back full circle though, and make it lighthearted again, because this is way too heavy for this podcast. Despite all of the stuff that we don't know about because we're ignorant white people, Will Smith had the best lines in this movie by far, and was he hit some he hit some great lines that made me laugh out loud numerous times.
No, he is. I mean, he's right. He's most charismatic. Like you asked earlier, like why would he do this movie if like all these underlying issues were there? I think he's it turns out he's a very avid golfer, so I think he was just like, golf movie, yeah, sign me up, I'm gonna do it. Which is something I didn't know about Will Smith.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
This was before he started getting all his big, big budget movies. Like the early 2000s when he started making it big. That was after.
I'd say the mid 90s, what, 96, 97, he did.
When was Bad Boys? That was late 90s.
95.
Right?
So like,
oh, wow, was that early?
95 was Bad Boys, 96 was Independence Day, 97 was Men in Black.
Holy cow.
Mid 90s are like when he blew up. And it carried over into the 2000s. You know, I think he did, unfortunately, 99 was Wild Wild West, which kind of
slowed his career. Come on, that's a fun movie, Matt.
That is a movie that I loved.
Forgot about that movie.
Fun.
You know what? That's a movie that would be good for this podcast.
That would be, because I haven't seen that in forever.
That's a movie
that was so popular when we were, 8 years old.
As a kid.
I saw it in theaters with my dad.
Yeah, no, like as a kid, it was amazing. But
when was the last time you watched it, Matt?
As a kid. I haven't seen it.
So, like,
I was
it would
kid.
Be good if none of us have watched it in the last like 20 years. It would be a good one.
That would be a good live watch, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be a good live watch one.
But that movie may have slowed his career down a little bit. But then 2000.
But then he did Ollie, was awesome.
No, so, I'm getting like 2000 was this, which.
Men in Black 2, Bad Boys 2, iRobot.
Yeah, 2001
Hitch
was Ollie.
Hitch was pretty good. The Pursuit of Happiness was amazing. I Am Legend, Hancock, 7 Pounds.
It's really like the last 10 years, his career, like he hasn't really made a good movie in a while.
I'm looking here now. I don't really see any good ones.
He doesn't need to. He's made enough.
Concussion was okay.
He makes bank. Concussion was fine. Yeah. Like it was okay.
I just don't like
I actually didn't mind Bright. The Netflix
Bright
one.
That's another one with some underlying issues.
I mean, it's supposed to be that.
Let's just rename this podcast Three White Dudes Talking and
about Will Smith.
just racial undertone movies. Yeah. Racial undertone movies.
That would not go over well. Talking.
We might get a lot of listeners in a certain demographic that we don't want.
Yeah, I mean, I am in the demographic now. That would probably
not demographic isn't the right term, but a certain like class, like type of person that we don't we talked about at the beginning of the last episode, but I edited it out. Kind of like the region that you live in, Quinn.
Oh yeah, you should have left that. Fucking leave that shit.
Dude, I can show you Casey's. I think there's some over there now.
We could all rename ourselves to names that start with K, and then it'd really be.
Again, we would get those same listeners I was just talking about.
Oh boy,
this will probably.
Anyways,
don't edit this.
Let's do some Will Smith lines that are awesome.
I didn't write any down, so you're gonna have to file through them.
All right. Well, there's some great lines from this movie, because if you're ever a golf, you know that there's always lines that you use when you golf. My grandpa always had lines about, like, you know, during golf that he would say.
Oh yeah.
So there's some great ones. The three bad strokes, one stroke good still get you par is always good. Don't stand so close on your practice swing. That was always one when you.
That one's good. Shot. I like that one.
This one is like the one he says where Juna's like, this is getting embarrassing. He's like, oh no, sir, this has been embarrassing for quite some time now.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I think it's that same scene. He says something like, you could sneak off. I could tell people you were sick. Based on how you've been playing, I don't think you'll be missed that much. I don't think people will notice. Yeah, that one was good. No, he's got a lot of good, like, before I forget, good, bad, or garbage on Legend of Bagger Vance.
I'm going to go bad.
I was honestly going to go good up until they fucking tied. And I just can't live with that. I'm serious.
It's too cheesy.
I know, that's the thing. It's the ending is so cheesy. I didn't think it was bad, actually. And I don't think it's really bad. I just think it's not good enough to be considered good.
Yeah, like as a kid, it would be like an easy good. I'm like kind of with you, Bo, where like out of 10, it's, you know, I originally had it ranked like a 7.2, but rewatching it, it's going to fall into like the fives, which is like the fine range for me. But it was so tough to watch after taking that class. And like once the glass shatters on some of the issues with it, I probably got to go bad on it. Matt Damon's swing is just the thing of nightmares too.
It just sucks too, because like we were just stating, it's going to go bad. It's going to be like pinned up next to other movies we called bad, but it's not nearly as bad. It's
bring up the list.
It's the best bad movie. I was going to say, it's the best bad movie, I think, that we've had.
I would put this right above like Small Soldiers, Rumble in the Bronx.
You think it's better than Small Soldiers, you're saying?
No,
yeah, you're saying it would be better than Small Soldiers.
Well, you were saying worse, right? You said you put it between Rumble in the Bronx and
Small Soldiers. No, I mean, I'm just trying to remember those movies. I like it. I like this more than Small Soldiers, but not as much as Chick All the Way.
Okay.
I would put it probably right behind Cubed.
Okay.
I think it'd be
above above Gods of Egypt still.
Yeah, I think so.
Above the donuts.
it's close.
You want to know what's funny? I forgot we even watched Gods of Egypt. I totally forgot about that movie.
That's why I have.
I feel like,
at a 5.7, it's so forgettable. Like I said, that's like the fine range. Like that's the forgettable stuff.
Damn, you have Hubie Halloween at a 6.1.
I enjoyed it more than like that's good for me. Like the sixes is like good. Like I enjoyed that a lot more than I thought.
I need to almost rewatch some of these to be like.
A lot of Adam Sandler's.
How is Tiptoes that low, man? I am ashamed of you. That's disgusting, Matt.
As much fun as it was to talk about it, that movie was so bad.
Yeah, but did you have fun watching it too?
Like in the whole like it's so bad it's good sense.
Yeah. Right. That is like the definition of a so bad it's good movie.
It is. That's why it's so awesome.
Is that like Super Mario Bros. 2 then, or what?
No, that one's so bad, it's just bad.
No, yeah, Super Mario Bros. Is just not great.
There's no redeeming qualities of that movie at all.
Good, like,
what's some other good lines, like golf sayings that you say, like when you're golfing?
I'm trying to, well, like my
father-in-law, I just constantly say when someone hits a bad shot that you pay a lot of money, you might as well take as many shots as possible.
Oh, yeah, that's great. You're getting your money's worth.
I'd say my dad does the whole like, I want to get my money's worth on this course, you know, like see as much of the course as possible.
When somebody hits the ball in the water, I tend to say something like, the fish are fed well enough.
I've not heard that one before.
I don't know. This is not even a golf thing, but the best joke that anybody's ever done to me on the golf course was done by my dad in his Father's Day. So he was smoking a cigar or whatever, and he lit a match. And he's like, have you ever seen a match burn twice? And I was like, what? Like, no, like I've never physically. And so he lit the match and he like lit his cigar and blew it out. And then he took the match and put it on my arm. Like it burned the match and then burned myself. The
Jesus.
I mean, I was like 23. Like it wasn't like anything.
Mixed thinking would be like, I was 10 years old and like, oh.
It was funny. Like I was, and it didn't even hurt that bad. It was like, I mean, imagine like, whatever, it's not even on fire. It wasn't abusive at all. Nobody gets to go headhunt my dad down.
Well, if you have issues later with like matches, we light up one up around. You're like,
This isn't a saying or anything, but my grandpa would always just rip one in my backswing. You just fart. Be like, thanks, Grandpa.
That's just dudes being dudes.
Yeah. Guys being dads.
He's doing that, or like my dad's dropping a club in my backswing. Don't do this when playing.
What are you guys? Well, Matt, I already know your opinion on this, but iron covers or no iron covers?
I think if you have iron covers, good for you. You officially declared yourself that you hit from the women's tees.
Okay, I will hit from the women's tees. Because I paid a lot of money for my irons. I don't want them to get all dinged up. I'm going to scratch them myself. I don't want them to scratch each other.
He doesn't hit the ball enough for him to like cause damage, so he wants them to look brand new.
Hell yeah.
The only thing I have covers for are my driver, woods, and putter. And I just bought a putter cover. So literally just bought all these
extra covers.
What?
Put them over my irons. I do have a cover for it.
Someone's listening to this. You're on a list.
Driving iron just so I can hit it. And I'm only going to hit it when I'm with you.
Quinn's four iron
is not going to work well, but I'm going to do it.
Quinn's four iron is the thing he uses the most because he doesn't carry any woods.
I hate a four iron.
Driver, four iron, three iron. Every hole. Three
my
iron.
My five wood is like my baby of a club. Dude, sometimes I want to break my driver in half, so I just use my iron, five wood.
Driver and three iron. Driver, four iron. Every par five.
You should hit the ball farther. Then you wouldn't have to worry about a four iron. It'd just be driver seven iron. You
know what, Bo? I don't have an answer for that.
Masters predictions before we go in?
Yeah. Everyone's on Jordan Spieth.
All right, wait.
Because he just won.
I posted a guy to you today that I'm like, I'm all about this guy now.
All about this guy now?
Yeah, just, Cam so Brooks, Smith.
Cam Smith, he's Australian.
I do all like right, Cameron he's Smith.
My dude.
Have you seen...
Old Quinn. Man golf chat. Look at the video. Quinn. It's Cam Smith.
Quinn, did you? Okay, just is this a recent? Is this a recent?
Are you talking to anybody? You're just yelling at clouds right
I'm
now.
I'm yelling at you, both of you.
Let me talk here. Does this have his current look on it with the mustache and mullet?
Yes. Just look at the fucking video.
He looks ridiculous.
Let's watch the video.
I do like him.
You know this person is not actually Cam Smith.
I was going to say, that does not look like
Cam Smith. I know, it's not, but he looks like that.
He does, close. Like, he has a mullet and mustache like this guy, but it's not
Cam Smith. He's blonde, isn't he?
Yeah, it's very, it's some of those shitty-looking blonde mustaches.
I read, like, a fantasy article of, like, what happens if Spieth and Bryson are, like, the final pairing.
That would be amazing.
On Sunday.
That would destroy
and I think it was no laying up talking
about
it.
Wait, what happened to my boy, Brooks? Where's Brooks?
He's playing.
He is. He, like, faked an injury for the last 3 weeks and showed up in the Masters.
So, no, it's funny. This is what I was going to bring up. Brooks had, was it back surgery or not surgery, but he had a back issue. Or knee. Or
me, I think.
And he was like reportedly going to be out for 6 to 8 months. And then, yeah, last week, Brooks replied to everyone, was like, oh, no, I'm playing in the Masters next week. But today, during practice rounds, they showed him, like, you know, they'll air practice rounds on a golf channel. He, because of his knee's so bad, he can't bend his knee. So he's taking, when he drops down to read a putt, he's like doing a lunge.
Oh, I saw. He was like on his like side.
Yeah, he's like lunging. Yeah, or, right. You know what I mean? Like,
Posted posted something on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram's where I saw it. Yeah.
What was he?
It was funny.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes. Look at this.
Yeah. See, well, then swipe what the other picture is.
Yeah. And
straight out of my childhood. Look at that. Yeah. So, I don't know. Brooks is whatever to me. If he's in contention, I'll root for him because I was at his first major. So it's always kind of cool to like have him win more.
I like also, Brooks. Like a dude Brooks win has on a my busted mentality knee. About golf.
I'm not a Brooks guy. I don't. That's love fine. His, I don't.
You
love
like
his,
Jordan Spieth? You like the little weenies that just Jordan complain Spieth. To their caddy for 18 holes and then occasionally hit a great shot.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth, like, you know, whatever, 3 majors, 12 wins. Yeah, just a little weenie complaining all the time. Jordan
well, how
Spieth
many majors does Brooks have?
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. you did the, wait, I could be wrong here. I don't know how many he actually has. Well, Phil,
I don't
5.
Mind Jordan Spieth. He's fine. I just don't want, I do actually want to see, like I said, Bryson being in the top 5 and not
yeah.
top I'm like, leader after day 3 and then shooting like plus 6.
Yeah,
when Bryson kind of came out of nowhere, it feels like, because they were Brooks was making fun of Bryson for so long.
Bryson,
because Bryson like and him kind of had a feud.
Yeah, Bryson.
They like, always. Oh wait, no. Big Cat was always making fun of Bryson. He's like Bryson DeChambeau, yeah. blah blah.
Well, that's because Bryson is actually like worth making fun of. Like he actually does dumb and says dumb shit all the time.
Yeah, Bryson is a weird. Cat like he actually had a pretty good like amateur career. Like I wouldn't say he was a nobody, but he wasn't winning enough. Like for how big he was supposed to be, he was not winning enough. And then he like changes his body and now he's winning US Opens and shit.
Maybe Tony Finau should try the same thing.
Tony Finau needs to
yoking up on
out.
Protein.
I'm like Tony Finau is gonna turn into like Ricky Fowler and just disappear and like no one's gonna hear from him again.
That'd be crazy after all the shit that he's gone through. I almost, yeah. He's like got to win one.
Like, no, you'd think like he's got to win something. Well, it's like the Jordan Spieth thing in the last 2 months. Like you're on the top of the leaderboard. How many weeks in a row you got to win eventually? But Finau, it's crazy how
that at home that playoff against Homa and bogeying the hole to lose. Not even Homa birding it.
Yeah,
it's got to be like the most defeating thing.
Yeah, that's tough. But no, so like everyone is picking Jordan to win because like he won last week and Augusta is where he plays the best. I'd love to see Jordan win. I think it'll probably be – it's weird because like JT has been playing like shit, but he won the Players a couple weeks ago. But I could see
it'll
like
– it'll be somebody who's like not like a great – probably a great golfer, but like someone who's like –
You're never gonna hear from him again.
Wouldn't think, yeah, like not like a top 20 golfer or like someone around that area, like someone who's still good, but not like.
Jason Day.
I would love Jason Day to win again.
That'd be a good example.
I like Jason Day, like, and he's won a major, like he and he's won like 14 times on the tour.
I do like Lee Westwood.
Lee Westwood would be like,
but he's been playing well.
If Lee Westwood would win, it'd be like when Sergio won 4 years ago.
With less racist comments.
Is Rory any decent anymore? You like never even hear of him.
I like Rory. He won three times last year.
I'm just looking at the field right now. I don't even know how. I'm just saying names that I recognize.
Yeah.
Oh, who is the guy that's in like jail in prison that couldn't make it? Brazilian Joe Garcia.
Brazilian? Well, I mean Sergio Garcia is Spanish.
Sergio,
he's playing.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
let me look this up. Someone's in jail, and so he can't make the Masters.
Oh, Angel Cabrera.
Oh, he's Cabrera. Argentina. He's from Argentina.
Yeah,
the Duck is his nickname.
That's a terrible name,
dude. Have you ever heard about the Argentinian duck? No, but for real, do you guys know why his nickname is the duck?
I assumed it was because he waddles or looks like a duck. But no, I'll give you the if that's reason. Not it, then no.
Hold on. Let me read the facts before I just give it to you. All right. The Argentinian lake duck. Very famous. The Argentinian lake duck has... I can't even read this. Okay, I'm just going to read it. North American scientists have discovered the longest bird penis ever. A 42.5 centimeter organ belonging to a duck. Reporting this week's Nature that they have found a specimen of the Argentinian lake duck that has a penis as long as its body, nearly half a meter long. This is extended an earlier estimate of the length of the duck's corkscrew-shaped penis, which was 20 centimeters. So, yeah, I mean, that's as far as I'm going. Argentinian lake duck. That is why Angel Cabrera. Little did you know.
Yeah. I did not know that. So thank you for that new information.
Yeah, there is. I don't know. I spent
the
one
more
time.
You know.
Up, I spent one time looking up the largest phallic things in the animal kingdom.
Yeah, Bo's Google search. Long biggest penis in the animal kingdom.
Quinn, what's the next movie gonna be?
I got one.
What is it?
You want it now? Are we doing this thing?
Yeah. That's what we normally
Face
do.
Off.
What?
Oh no.
Face off.
All right.
I do kind of like it though, because I don't know if I've ever seen the whole thing.
It's I've never seen and it, Nicolas but Cage. I have heard such difference of opinions on the movie, and it sounds like... just crazy. I'm all in.
I feel like I saw
think I have
like
maybe seen it. Maybe just like.
Plus, who doesn't like a little Nicolas Cage Unhinged? You can play it on Fubo TV. What is that?
It's like a cable service. So you'd have to pay for it.
Hey, John Woo's the director.
Yeah, I'd say John Woo is the guy, like he likes his action movies, so.
He definitely does.
No, I was going to say all these streaming services, we're just back at like having cable. Like,
yeah.
That's it.
No, paying cable. Very annoying.
Like everybody just, it was fun. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime.
That's my three.
All that shit worked. And now we're just buying cable packages again.
Yeah.
Legally streaming it.
Legally illegal.
Yeah.
Quinn, why would you illegally stream something?
Because it's Savannah. They don't give a shit about anybody here.
You don't get letters from your internet company like saying stop it.
Well, we're mooching off of Casey's, so why do I need to get...
He still gets the dial-up tone. He like starts up his computer and it sounds like it's going through like a boot up and then like a...
Nah, dude, we just steal Casey's Wi-Fi. I can get it from here.
Oh, like a gas station?
Yeah.
That's the most Savannah thing I've heard.
Who's your neighbor's Casey? Casey who? Casey the gas station.
Gas station, Casey, bro.
Is that where you go grocery shopping?
Oh, God, no. No, we usually go down to Clinton. And there's a Hy-Vee, a Walmart, and Aldi and stuff.
How far of a drive is that?
Half hour at most.
Fuck that. I have 4 grocery stores within 5 minutes of my house, Quinn. It's the greatest thing.
We have a nice grocery store in town, though. It's small, but it's nice.
Can't wait.
All right.
All
right. You guys didn't have to wait for me.
Good night. That's all right.
Have a good one.
You too.
Peace.
Peace out.